Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right. Thank you, Duke. You are listening to the Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. Sitting across from me, as always, is a man who doesn't play his best golf after finding out we just might have lost our free accommodation in up here in Queensland. David Gannon-Rolson, how are you, mate?
That's true.
You feeling better?
I am. Now, look, all right. So, as always, an explanation is needed. Yes. My uncle, in inverted commas, is incredibly kind enough to give us his holiday house in Brunswick Heads each year for a week or so.
Shout out to you, Stuart. Great man.
Unbelievably kind and generous and great, and that's magnificent. As we got to the golf course today, I got a phone call from Stuart via the real estate agent that the place had been double booked.
Yeah, we might be out.
And because the others were paying and we're not, we were a big chance we'll be sleeping on the beach under the stars. And I didn't take to it real kindly.
No, it rattled me.
It rattled me. I was unsettled. Yep. I was no good.
Yeah. Lucky the course, as you'll find, was actually pretty good because I even asked you. I was planning on slapping you. The time you did this a little bit when we were on the skateboard things.
Yep. That was different because I was just playing golf like a dickhead and deserved to be slapped. Most of it was the concern about you. I've promised you a holiday and a bed and a house and a roof.
I got no.
And I thought I'd let you down.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I was very concerned about your good self.
Yeah, so you there was plenty
and
of
very
phone.
Very concerned that some of the folding stuff might have had to come out of my pocket. And funnily enough, you know what I thought? I thought about Shane Warne. Now, no man had more going wrong off the field and was performed better on the field. And I thought, how mentally strong and good is he at that? And then I was the complete opposite. I went to shit like nobody's business. I was a gibbering wreck.
Plenty of phone calls. I could hear you in the background just doing your little like, well, this isn't good enough. I think something needs to be done about this. Well, not only were you trying to get, you were trying to get us upgraded somewhere.
I thought, because occasionally the bad you do, you end up better off and all that. So I didn't go full ape shit on them. I had up my sleeve,
yep.
And all that, and I still have got Stuart's good name to look after as well.
Sure,
but look, in the end, again through Stuart's good work and through some reorganisation and all that, they got the other people who had booked here to stay somewhere else. So we have a roof over our heads. We're still podcasting indoors, not under the stars.
And it happened around about the turn. Which reflects the scores because on the back nine you shot under 50.
Oh, under 70, I would imagine. Look, it didn't go well, but we're back. We're back. We're good.
All right, now onto the course.
Not just onto the course. I was also a fraction rattled about going to the wrong course, which was all that was your fault.
It was partly my fault,
partly Mr. Palmer's fault. Yes,
yeah, Mr.
I'll give
Palmer.
You that.
Now, what happened was we booked this course. The reason we wanted to play this particular one was last year we were driving around last day and we were just every now and again we would just drop in and have a look at a golf course.
Yeah.
We got out of the car, walked up to the first, and I was like, "Holy Jesus, cool. This looks really good. We'll play this next time."
We'll talk about why we'd look at that first is really cool because it sort of has. The first, say, 150, 200 metres of it is a big double joint fairway. It's the last 200 metres of the 18th and the first 200 metres of the first. But it's massively wide. Like, you don't get them mixed up or anything. Yeah. But it just looks really cool. Yeah, it's a really good, unique, cool first
and the
hole.
The grass was rolled back and forth. Yeah. So those stripes in. So it looked really good. So we said, we'll play this next time.
Right.
So throughout the year, I looked up and it's in the top 100. So I said, we'll book it.
Just. Late 90s, amazingly so.
Now, this is where it gets confusing. The course is called Palmer Gold Coast.
All right, Palmer. I call it Robina Woods.
Yeah, that's what it used to be called. Yeah,
I just call it Robina Woods because I still call the Western Bulldogs Footscray, all that sort of stuff.
So I've called up. Their website says golf fees from $100. I'm thinking, oh, God, here we go. called them up. He said, yeah, mate, you can get on Tuesday. You'll have the course to yourself. Yep. Come whatever time you want. It's $69 including carts. So I thought, oh, that's handy. So I've booked. Got an email from the booking thing. And on the top it said, Palmer Colonial Gold Coast.
All right.
So then I thought, oh, well, okay, maybe it's called Colonial. That sounds a bit more named.
Palmer Colonial Coast. So what were you thinking it was? Palmer Golf.
Palmer Gold Coast. That's what it's had in the top 100.
All right. Palmer Gold Coast and Palmer Colonial Gold Coast. All right, so they're the two things we're dealing with.
So then when I every time I Googled it, it kept coming up with Palmer Colonial. So I thought, oh, it must be that. So I put it into the GPS. Enough. We're driving there. I said, go straight. And then we come to a turn, and I said, turn left up here. And you actually said...
I said, you sure it's not right?
I said, well, that's where the GPS is telling me.
Which, because if we had an old map...
if I was holding it, I still would have gone to the... All right, but, so we've rocked up, and... We walked down, we think, this doesn't look anything
even
right.
As we're driving in, we're thinking, did we come in from the other angle last time? It doesn't quite look whatever, but we thought, yeah.
We get out of the car and we walk up and think, nah, this is not the right pro shop. This is something's gone wrong here. So,
but it's got signs all over it, Palmer Golf.
Yep, Palmer Colonial. So I thought, this must be it.
And it
so,
looked pretty good.
Yep, so we parked 20 metres from the pro shop, which you weren't happy with. You moved your car to get 10 metres from the So while you were moving the car... I checked the phone. I thought, oh, hang on. The top 100 says Palmer Gold Coast. And I looked up and I seen there was another one, Palmer Colonial. Oh, sorry. No, I looked on the...
It's very confusing.
So anyway, we didn't know. So we thought this... And then we didn't know... We knew this wasn't the course we looked at last year, but we didn't know if this was the course that was in the top 100.
Or the course you would book. That's what we thought. We thought, maybe you've booked the wrong one.
So we walked in. First thing you said to the bloke was, mate, are we booked in here?
And he goes... And the first thing he said was, no.
Because I was thinking,
no, you're not.
Because then I was looking, I realised this one wasn't in the top 100. Looked good. Looked great.
Looked great.
But it wasn't in the top 100. So I started thinking, well, geez, if I've stuffed this up, we've got time to cancel this booking and if we got the other one, we just go across. So as it turns out, we're in the wrong place. We get back in the car.
Other one was, what, 6-8 minutes away?
Yeah. Not even that. So we drive around the corner and we walk rock up. This is the one. This is the correct golf course.
This is the one we remember one, yeah.
So we walk in, we say to the bloke, oh, we've been to the wrong golf course. What did he say?
Everyone does it.
Yeah, well, fuck, where about you get your shit?
How about you change your names?
So anyway, we're in the right place, which if you're going to be late to a go, to a, he, like I said, he said we'd have it to ourselves, which we pretty much did.
Pretty
we had
much the course great.
Because what the deal is, he says all the members' courses around there, all the members play during the week at their member courses. This one particular said the weekends when the casual golf like us
chock-a-block.
Can't get on all those other ones.
Yep.
He said the weekends you can't move here. It's flat and knacker. And look, everyone told us to stay away from this. Like a lot of the Palmer ones.
It was funny, yeah.
He's got a bad name. He's buying golf courses. And
so this is the big fat Clive Palmer bloke, isn't it, who run for Parliament as a bit of a goose.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people are...
Could he's be the buying nicest bloke in the world for all I know. That was probably out of line. But
So he's buying these golf courses and neglecting them is the term I've heard from a lot of
people. Yeah, because there was Palmer Coolum, which we were told not to play up north.
Yep, absolutely. But this held some pretty big events back in the day, didn't it?
Yeah, this had Queensland Opens and all that sort of stuff and PGA tournaments. And look, said, yeah.
Without spoiling the review of the course, when we come back through on the term, I said, like, mate, someone needs to have a word to Palmer. This golf course is fantastic. I said, how can he let this go? And he said, well, back when it was at its prime, they had 28 ground staff. He said, we've got six now. So there's a big difference.
Yep.
But
let's get into the review.
Yeah, look, we loved it off the bat. I loved it. For something that just snuck into the, I think it was 98, I think.
Yeah. Mate, if it was at 45-50, I would have no trouble in the world.
100%. Federer was ranked in the 40s. I keep bringing Federer up, but this was a lot better than that. And you could see that the layout and the whole, especially the front nine, you could see that back in its day, if they spent some money on it, it could be...
The front nine, I felt like a lot of the holes were modelled on Augusta.
It felt
Augusta-y. Augusta-y?
Yeah.
It did. Absolutely. It was stunning. The holes were... it felt like the only hole on the world. There was no one else around you.
Yep.
But they were interesting and clever and well-led and beautiful.
Yep.
And they were just scenic. It was really, really good.
Yeah, and every hole, you didn't just walk up and grab driver. There was a lot of lap holes because there was water coming across middle. And there's a couple of stages where I looked around and thought to myself, geez, I could see myself being part of a crowd here and just making my way through watching the big boys hit onto these things. So the first impressions we're going to say were great because we seen it last year. And without knowing the ranking or the price, we said we're paying that next year. So when you get there, old style clubhouse.
Friendliest bloke in the world inside.
Yep. So look, it's
dearest Mars bars ever.
So slope golf ball. They had a golf ball.
Oh, that's
unlocked a Civic Harbour, which is not good enough. The slope of 129, which is good compared to what we played yesterday, which was 192 or something. Just over 6,000 metres, so not overly long.
Now, I was going to say, it's funny when you say those totals, they don't always reflect, you know, one or two big or short holes can put them out.
Yeah.
But overall, it wasn't overly long. It was just a good, nice, you know, the par fours, I'm hitting 5 or 7 iron in, not 3 wood in like we were the other day.
Yeah, that's right. And look, and $69 with cards, very reasonable.
Beautiful. Yeah, look, as I said, I would play that front nine in front of most front nines anywhere. I thought it was sensational.
Yeah, yeah.
And other than hitting most of them sideways and into the I got out of the trees and back on the good stuff.
I'm surprised you can remember the front nine.
imagine how bad it would have been if the course was shit.
that's what I was thinking the whole time.
Oh, it would have been horrid, wouldn't it?
It would have been for sure. Did you have a signature hole?
Look,
the front nine could nearly.
Any one of the front nine would do me. But the one I liked was a par four coming back down the hill and around. That's shit by me. I can't remember that.
I actually know which. I remember the hole you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I've actually, funnily enough, my signature hole was actually on the back nine, the 18th.
18 was great.
Really high tee box. Yep. Coming down, you had the two fairways joining up, so it looked
like... And the two dams, the small dam ones, yep.
Which you looked like you had to... There was just grass everywhere sort of thing. Plus it helped that we were... Our match play come down to the wire and it sort of come down to that last sort of hole.
Yeah, yep. And I like how we're playing match play now because it doesn't matter if you have an 8 and I have a 9, it just goes 1-0. and at the end we can say, oh, the score was 3-2. We don't have to say the score was 108 to 112.
Well, the score was 7-5 at the end.
Oh, that's generous to me. I should have been a million miles away. But oh no, I started hitting a few straight around the back, didn't I?
Yeah, once the news come through that we that we weren't getting kicked and out
I,
of our
I come back to the planet.
Barman, you sort of straightened up.
I had the boost bar. I had the $8 boost bar at the half, and that got me back on track.
Yeah, that's. I actually said that to you. I said,
"Get some chocolate in
you. Need some chocolate. Get in there and buy yourself a bloody bar and smarten up." And look, the back nine, it wasn't as good as the front nine by any means.
No,
and I think you summed it up like every single hole on the front nine was great.
Yep,
the back nine, every hole was good.
Good, yeah. Probably five were close to great.
Yeah, yeah, and then.
Yeah, you probably had four good ones, maybe four or five good ones, and then four or five close to great, if not great. Yeah. But I said that front nine. Oh, as I said, I'm stunned. It was ranked 99. Or 98. The condition was great, but the interestness.
Autocorrect, not even.
You just fix that in the edit.
You need to tell me what it actually is.
Entering. I'm in trouble. Interestingness.
Gotcha.
Of the front nine, as I said, I would recommend that course to anyone. Play it all day. Yeah,
yeah, a little bit different to what we've been playing too. Yep. Just tall trees. And if you can, get on a weekday where you've just got it to yourself, where you've literally got the whole course to yourself. Yep. So look, we loved the course. We didn't shoot the lights out by any means.
Had to be a highlight or two, though. What were they for you? How'd you go?
I did play one shot that I am going to remember for a long time. It was on the 14th. There was hit me drive into. There was like a narrow landing area with a dam with a bunk, really cool bunker going right around the edge, like
right on the corner of the water there,
like half moon sort of shape. Yep. And went
that shouldn't have been in play for you to proper drive like I did.
so I've hit mine into there, and I was still 190 from the green.
And I'm thinking, you beauty, I've got this hole. It can't get out of here.
So I've taken a 4-iron out of the bunker. There was no lip to get over, so because
even
it was,
that though, but as soon as you took 4-iron, I thought, you beauty. You're not getting out of here.
So over the other side of the water between me and the green was a tree on the edge. So I thought if I take, so I'm always trying to fight my hook. So I thought if I take my regular grip and nip this, it should curve around this tree, and it bloody did. I hit it as clean as a whistle out of this sand. It's carried the nearly 200 meters to the front of the green, bend it around the tree. That was easily my highlight of the day.
Yeah, no, that was a ripper. That was good. That broke me out. I thought, geez, I've got this hole here. I was a mile in front there, but that was good. Oh, the other thing I enjoyed about the course there, how good is it when the clubhouse have got showers and a towel for you and all that at the end of the day? Because after we're going to went and watched a movie.
We did.
Ocean's 8.
Yes.
But to be able to freshen up, have a shower and all that at the clubhouse and change there, that was magnificent, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of Ocean's 8?
Yeah, it was good without being great. It's hard because you compare it to the great oceans with, because I've always said Brad Pitt and George Clooney have some of the best on-screen chemistry of any two actor or actress has ever played, done a movie. So you were comparing a lot of it to that.
Which is hard for them. Hard for them. For the girls. Yeah.
But no, look, overall, enjoyed it.
It was probably a bit better than just good. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. And I love Cate Blanchett. I thought she was magnificent. But I would have loved to have seen it without the other Oceans movies existing.
Yeah.
And it'd probably be judged better then, wouldn't it?
Absolutely would have been better. Yeah, for sure.
It was good.
All right, so let's roll straight on. I'm going to do something different here.
We're rolling straight on.
Well,
that's different to start with. You normally press pause now and we get to rediscuss where we're going, all right.
We're going to go into a segment. We're going to go into a top four.
I haven't got one.
I have. We're going to do something a little bit different. I haven't told you about this yet.
No.
Normally, with our top fours, we come up with
a topic or a context or something relevant.
We have time to think about it. We come and you give your top four, I give mine. Yeah. But this time, I'm actually doing a little bit different. I'm going to give you the topic, and then we're going to build the top four on the fly.
All right, so you're going to give me something. So we're going to
And then we'll decide what actually goes on the top four.
All right, what's the top four?
So the top four is going to be top four pet peeves while you're on the golf course. And I'll give you an example.
Things that annoy you on the golf course.
Yeah, so not like having a bad score or having a double bogey. I'll give you an example. Things like seeing cigarette butts on the golf course. I bloody hate it.
I seen one tomorrow. because we're not.
You seen what?
And yes, it really annoys me. I hate that. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yep. So far, that's on the list. So we're going to bounce. Feel free to throw some at me and we'll take some off and we'll add some on until we've got a top four.
Top
four.
What about when there's chairs or shopping carts in the dam?
Yes.
In the dam.
That's a bad look. We've seen that today.
There was a chair or something, wasn't it?
No, it was a
plastic chair.
Chair.
Yeah. But yep.
So chairs are on the list so far. Yeah. All right. Another one. When you strike an iron, say a 6-iron beautifully from 100, and it's sailing at the pin, and you think that's all over it, and you've overclubbed it, disappears, and you see your ball roll off the back of the green and disappear.
Well, more the other one, if you hit a wedge, if I hit a wedge beautifully and up in the air and think that's all over it, and it's 30 short. But I didn't think, because when you said not.
But I just said that because it's always
the obvious one is slow play. When the guys in front of you are really slow and not letting you through, is that what you're talking about?
So that doesn't bother me as much. I'm never in a rush. In golf that's the big pet peeve, but I'm actually not too bothered.
So what about the other way then? People behind you hitting up on you and hurrying up.
Or when you hit your tee shot, you're playing in comp, and you go down and you don't hit a provisional, you can't find it, and you've got to go back to the tee and hit another one with those blokes. Not only those blokes standing there in front of them, but you've ran back.
And you're puffed, tired, and cranky, and that's the next tee shot. How about when you can't take the carts off the path?
That happened yesterday.
That's going to happen again in the future, I think.
I'd say so, yeah. Yep. Another one of mine is leaving.
All right, so you're only writing yours down?
No. Oh, no.
We're not writing the path one down?
Path. It's on there. It's on the list. So that's four. So then we're going to start knocking some off. What about leaving tees in your pocket and getting home and finding them?
Yeah, that's annoying.
Is that more annoying than that?
No, that's not that bad.
All right.
So on the golf course annoyed. No, I'm not. All right.
What about when you hit a ball and it lands like it nudges up against a tree, right? Mm-hmm. Which is bad enough.
Yeah.
But then you walk up to it and it's on the wrong side of the tree. Like if you're left-handed, oh, you can get a hit to it, but because you're not, you can't.
Yeah. But again, they're just more hard luck golf type things.
I don't know if you do that. I do this all the time. Mm. Particularly when you're pulling, when you're walking the course.
Yeah.
And your sand bucket falls off your buggy where you hit
your buggy heel.
It comes off and the entire contents of your sand falls
first
out.
First hole every time and I just, that bad luck.
I think that's on the list.
Yep. Oh, that's on the list. Yeah, yep. And that's just bad luck for the course. If they can't design their buggies and sand holders.
And every time I look at the little hook and it's only got a slight bend, I think, I want to get some frigging pliers. I'm going to tighten that right up so that cannot happen. And I've never done it. So what are we taking off? So the sand bucket's going on. We got cigarette butts. We've got chairs and dams. Let's take taking your second tee shot off.
Yeah.
That's too serious.
Yeah.
This is probably on the same line. Catching the lip of when you hit a long iron into the and it's going to clear the bunker and go on the green and it just catches that top lip and falls down.
Yep. What about, it doesn't happen much, but it has happened when the group in front of you don't put the flag back in the hole.
Oh, geez. That would be annoying.
There you go. I think I've played 6,000 rounds of golf and it happened to me once. So it doesn't happen enough to qualify?
Probably not.
Fair enough.
Probably not. What about not grabbing your mate's putter? I don't like doing that. I hate when you've got the cart and your mate's gone to chipped and you grab your putter, walk over the green, and then your mate walks past you and all the way back to his cart, and you're like,
that doesn't worry me too much when I've got my putter and yours.
You've done it about four times today. It doesn't bother you. That's why I put on there because I hate it. I feel like such a bum when I do that. Yeah. I normally run back past him and go get it for him and hand it to him.
No, I can live with that. What about phones going off and that sort of stuff? The other fella on the phone and noise and talking in backswings and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, again, I don't – making noise in the back of my backswing, if I had a bad shot, I just think it's because of my swing. I don't like to blame other people
for that.
Fair enough. Because I reckon that you should – you know what's funny about that is if you were taking a shot and I bark like a dog really loud, you'd be like, that'd annoy you.
Yeah.
The average golfer. Yeah. But the dog barking and the thing, doesn't annoy you.
Yeah,
the,
that's fair enough.
The dude hammering in a house next door doesn't annoy you. But if I clap, it's funny how...
It depends what the... Because we play near roads often, don't we? And there's cars driving past and all that noise. But it's funny. I suppose it's the unexpectedness of the noise. That.
What about phones going off when you're trying to podcast? Mr. Popular over here. That's the only reason you'll let it go.
Yeah, and it's a group message and none of them are talking to me. They're all talking to each other. They don't even know I'm in the group.
All right, well, I reckon, unless you've got any... I was going to say when you don't get out of a bunker, but that's a bad
shot. What about when you... When your shoe or something gets wet and you have to that is unexpected shoe wetness.
Yeah, unexpected shoe wetness. Because when it's expected,
it's fine.
All right, so we've definitely got cigarette butts.
Seeing them.
Don't like chairs, rubbish in.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often though. We could probably. I reckon we could get rid of that for the shoe wetness. Shoe wetness is more annoying than a chair in a dam.
The sand bucket falling off. And what's path?
The path.
I think
when you can't drive off the path when the
it's too wet.
What about when the drinks lady comes to you at hole 9 or hole 18? And not during the round, and then she's got no drinks and sandwiches. Any? What about a poorly serviced drinks lady?
Again, that happened today.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So we've got cigarette butts. We've got the path. We've got the sand bucket falling off, and the unexpected shoe wetness.
That's the top four. That's annoying.
Top four biggest pet peeves on a golf course.
All right, done. There we go. So we don't have to do any research anymore. We can just do our top fours live on air.
Well, look, we got a few more rounds of golf on this trip. We might revisit this if anything else happens along the way.
And annoys us.
And look, feel free if anyone wants
to... getting kicked out of your accommodation mid-round.
Before the start of the round.
Fairly annoying too.
Yeah, actually, we're going to add that to the list and we're going to take off the path. If anyone's got any, feel free to email us or text us because we'll read them out later because pet peeves on a golf course.
Very good.
All right, so there's your top four. Now, there's something we've spoken about. a little while ago that next time you're back in Australia, we spoke about trying to play, which I reckon will be good for the podcast, trying to play every hole, golf hole in Yarrawonga. So that in one day. So that means all 18 at Black Bull.
Yep.
We race across the Yarrawonga.
And how many have they got?
They've got 18 on the lakes, 18 on the Murray.
So 36.
And then the 9 executive holes.
So it's 36 and 9. 45?
45.
And the other 18 from there. And the other 18. What's 45 and 18?
63.
63 holes in a day.
63 holes in a day, right? So that's
almost. I once played 99 holes in 4 days.
Wow.
That's the most compact golf thing I've done. But so what are you saying? 70, what did we say? 63?
63 holes in a day, right?
Wowee.
So that's what so that'll be good. We'll get up early and we'll try to rip through them all. And
yeah,
we'll
that's cool. That's a good idea.
Okay, yep. So we've spoken about that. So we can do that. But this made me look up. Then I sort of thought, I'm going to look up the Guinness Book of Records and see some records to see if the Chili Dippers can break them. Now, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Listen to some of this.
All right.
So the record for the most holes played in 24 hours in a cart, right?
All right. I've looked up this previously and it's just in my golf bits section, like to fill in bits of podcasts. That will be interesting. So I've got most holes in a year?
No. Oh, hang on. I've got
what have you got? Which one have you got?
I've got heaps. So let me go. So I've got most holes played in 24 hours in a car, right?
Yep.
Rob James reckons that he played 851 holes at the Victoria Golf Course, which is a 9-hole course in Canada, right, in 2004. It goes on to say, during that year, 45, blah, blah, blah. 851 holes. Now, I've done the maths on this. I reckon normally your average hole when you're playing in a group of four is 15 minutes, right?
Yep.
So if you're playing by yourself in a cart, let's say it is 15 minutes. 851 holes works out to be 212 hours if it was 15 minutes a hole.
Yeah,
obviously, he's not,
right? Yeah, but you're close to, if you go as quick as you can, I reckon 3 or 4 minutes a hole.
Okay.
What did you have?
Well, okay. So 15 minutes per hole works out to be 212 hours, way more than 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
If you did it in 5 minutes a hole, right, which is pretty quick, is 70 hours. All right. If you do it in 1 minute per hole, it's still 14 hours. So he's going to need 1.7 minutes per hole.
So under 2 minutes a hole.
Under 2 minutes a hole for 24 hours.
Well, I reckon some of the par fives would take 2 minutes to just drive from tee to green.
I'm calling bullshit on Rob James.
Yeah.
The equivalent of 47 rounds of golf in one day.
Yeah.
Was anyone else playing? So did he have to have the course to himself?
Course to himself.
Yeah.
And what about hours of daylight?
Exactly. Yeah. Or did he, maybe was it lit up? Was it like a...
Well, in Canada, if he's up north in Canada in the right day, he could have got, say, 20 hours of daylight.
Maybe. Yeah, but that's still, it's ridiculous. I don't know how he's done that.
Because there was a dude on New Zealand TV the other day that broke the record for holes in a day. He just had one club and was running. Have you got him?
In one day, one day.
It might have been 10 or 12 hours. The record for that, and there was a dude running with one club, and even that was a really good number.
Mm.
And he said his hands hurt worse than his legs.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I'm going to chuck a couple more at you. Most courses...
Sorry, hold on. How many holes did he say played in the day?
851.
That's bullshit.
Yep. So most courses played in 1 year. Is 449. So a married couple, Kathy and Jonathan Weaver, pulled this off, playing all across Canada and USA from April 2008 to 2009, averaging 8.6 different courses per week.
Yeah, yep. So one a day and two on Saturday, two on Sunday.
For a year, though. That's a good effort.
That's good back to back. But
Okay, fastest round for a foursome.
Oh, hold on. So while we're on mosts, I've got most holes in a year.
Yeah, so have I. Is that who have you? You got Chris Adams?
No, I got Richard Lewis.
What year was yours?
I haven't written the year. How many holes you got?
14,625.
Ooh, I've got 11,000.
Yeah, well, I've been in 2012 playing 809 full rounds of golf and seven 9-hole rounds in Hawaii.
I've got 611 rounds all in Texas at his local one course.
Yeah.
Dude, you get sick of the one course, wouldn't you? 611 rounds, two a day.
This is 812 rounds, 2.2 a day. This bloke's got to be a bachelor.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's
So all his were at one course as well?
Yep. Or the King Kamehameha course in Hawaii.
That's a dude who wants to get value for money out of his membership.
He has got value. Okay, now the fastest foursome. You think you hit them well, you get around quickly.
Yeah.
1 hour, 4 minutes, and 25 seconds.
I bet they weren't sitting on the green. Oh, is it your putt? I look closer at your go.
3.5 minutes per hole.
Wow, that's flying.
Yeah, that is flying. And the last one is the longest golf club ever hit.
Oh, yeah.
So some dude named Michael Furher created the longest usable club.
Wow, all right.
It was 20 feet 6 inches.
20 feet?
20 feet. It was a big, long driver.
How long's my driver? 3.5 foot? 4 foot?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And he hit the ball 63 yards with it.
Oh, gee whiz.
So I was looking to see if we could break some record there for none of them. Yeah, we're not going close.
Here's another one we can't break. I found you know what the lowest ever score in a proper PGA tournament is for one round?
The lowest ever?
Yeah.
No.
57. 15 under.
I was going to, I wouldn't guess 57. I was going on 58. Because I know JT's shot a 59.
Yeah. 57. And the other thing, while we're doing golf trivia, birdie. Are you aware of we're obviously aware of the term birdie, not that we use it very often.
Yes.
You're aware of how that started and where it come from, the origin of birdie?
No.
There was a gentleman named Abe Smith in 1889, hit a great shot and it went in and he yelled out, "What a bird of a shot."
Really?
Yep. He just used the expression, "What a bird of a shot." and that's how the term birdie became birdie.
That's not what I was expecting at all.
All right. So there's my golf trivia to add to yours. But, and right. No, we can't break that record either.
No. We could make other terms. Yeah. Right. Well, we've ran about long enough.
Beautiful. Very good.
Let's wrap this up. Thank you for listening. What are we doing for now, Ross?
I reckon that pizza shop we seen yesterday that had about 14 toppings per pizza ready to go.
Back near our motel.
Yep, we'll go sneak around there.
Righto. Thanks for listening. Chili Dippers out.
See you, mate.
In the back where the grass don't grow, gonna take a few hacks. That's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Chad Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. I got a two-bit job with a little bit of pay, but I'm no pressure, couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Did another good hit, try to make it last.